Yeah, what you are about to hear is a work of fan fiction. All characters and events and settings, even those based on the ones from World of Warcraft, are entirely fictional, and half of it was probably made up on the spot. Listening to this production indicates your consent to its terms of service, which we forgot to write down.
Last time, Butch, Ari, and Falcus helped the kids from Teldrassil attempt their King Anduin rescue plan, and things took a turn for the worse. Ari consumed the spirit of the demon they fought to keep it from attacking the children and is now unconscious. Will she recover, or has she fought her last fight? Let's find out now as we queue up for some more heroic Dungeons and Dragons.
It is dark. It's kind of breezy. Nice warm night. You look around. You can see kind of a midnight forest. You see trees, evergreens mostly. Kind of a grassy, but like also rocky terrain, dirt road, about, 50 feet away. Pretty easy to see by. You look up, there's a full moon, stars in the sky, the whole deal. It's a forest that looks, if you were in Stormwind and you were to go out into like the Eversong Woods. No, excuse me. Eversong Woods is up in Silverpine. Silver Moon. That's the Eversong Woods, right? Elwynn Forest. That's what I'm looking for. If you go out into the Elwynn Forest outside of Stormwind, you'd see a lot of oaks, maples. These woods are more pine trees, a lot of evergreens. Not all that different from the forests you would have grown up in. You're by yourself. You look around, there's not anybody else around. You feel fine. You were just in the last thing you remember, you were in this big combat encounter, or this big scary thing happened, there was all this fire. That was a lifetime ago. Now you're just in this peaceful wood. What would you like to do?
I would probably start walking to the road. If it's just the trees and there really isn't a clear path, I would start walking to the road.
Okay. You're on your way to the road. Pass by some trees. There's markings around, head height, shoulder height on the trees. Every once in a while, not every tree. You take a closer look. A lot of, 3 or 4 parallel lines, marks, gouged into the bark.
Does it look like what my claws would do? Because I've turned into a worgen lots of times. Is that the kind of vibe I'm getting? Does this look like worgen claws, or does it look different?
You put your hand up against the tree. You see your normal hand. You're still human. The way that your fingers are spread, the marks are farther apart than that.
Okay.
But they're spread the same way as your fingers. Yeah, you get the sense that if you were to warg out right now, it wouldn't maybe be an exact match. But yeah, that's what you're looking at is slash marks from worgen claws on these trees.
Okay, I would keep walking towards the road just whenever I notice one, just kind of taking a second to pause and just look at to see if there's anything different on any of them.
Yeah, it's not every tree. And it's not the same on every tree that you see it on. But yeah, you get the sense that there's been some worgen activity in this area.
Okay, I'm going to work on being a little quieter just in case, but still heading towards the road.
Roll me a stealth check.
Yeah, absolutely. Nat 1, so 7.
Okay. Natural 1, you realize that there really isn't very much way for you to avoid your step. There's like a lot of branches. There's a lot of that sort of thing you're stepping on. There's not very many leaves because, again, the trees in this area, not as leafy as maybe you would see down south. But yeah, you're cracking sticks every once in a while, that kind of thing. If you're trying to hide from somebody, you're sure that that's not going to fly on your way to the road.
However,
you are able to reach the road without being accosted by anything.
Okay.
In fact, as you listen, you realize that maybe sometimes you hear the wind rustling through the branches and you hear like the distant sound of just general nature. Like you can hear crickets and that kind of thing, but you don't hear something stalking through the woods at this time. You don't hear anything like that. So you're like, okay, being quiet here probably would be a good idea. But it doesn't seem in this moment like there's anything that I have to be quiet from. And then you take a look at the trees again and realize that these scratch marks have been here for kind of a while.
Okay.
So this might not be brand new.
When I get to the road, what do I see?
You get to the road. It looks like it runs north to south, judging by, like, you glance up at the stars and you're like, okay, roughly speaking, I have an idea that this is probably a north to south direction. Every once in a while, you see a lantern, like the sort of like roadside light post. There, it's a good thing, I guess, that it's a full moon with bright starlight coming down, because the lamps are like flickering with, you know, the way that fire would be. The fire is black, and it seems to absorb some of the light around it, immediately around the lamppost. So you wouldn't be able to see by these, but they're lit. To the north, more woods, you know, nothing really terribly exciting. To the south, you see that as you look north, you don't see as much on the southern side of the trees as far as markings are concerned. As you look to the south, you see that on the northern side of the trees, almost as if this was happening on their approach to a more southerly direction, the damage to the trees is more apparent. So it's almost as if, as you're walking down a path, you're seeing things that were happening in front, you know, as you walk. Whereas if you look behind you, it doesn't, you know. And then distantly to the south, you can see what to someone who's never been here before might look like a really strange, odd, kind of very flat hill in the very, very far distance. But you know this area. You've been in these woods a lot. And you know a giant wall when you see one in the far distance. You've never seen it look quite like this before, because just beyond it, as if you're looking at a sunset, which you know sunsets don't happen to the south, the lower atmosphere, sort of just above the wall, is a dark, like, reddish orange, as if it were a sunset beyond the structure. But you know that's not what it is.
I would definitely start walking towards it, knowing this place is familiar and that things aren't piecing together. I would be heading that direction.
Takes you a little while. This is a large wood. And for some reason, you can see in the far distance the thing you're approaching, even though the road turns and there's trees and that sort of thing. There's not a lot of logical consistency to some of the things you're seeing. You pass, you know, signs that you're struggling to read. You pass trees that in your periphery aren't shaped quite right. Go ahead and roll me just a flat intelligence roll.
8.
Yeah. You're tripping. You're not sure why things aren't exactly kosher, but it's just an odd experience. You get to the wall that was built at the order of King Greymane to separate Gilneas from the rest of Silverpine and Lordaeron. And it is battered. It's pretty broken, especially around the gate area. It'd be very easy for something to pass through here and get inside the city. You smell smoke.
Do I see... Would I assume that reddish glow, maybe instead of being a sunset, would be smoke, or is it still just unclear? It's just weird.
Yeah, you smell smoke. You see a reddish hue in the lower atmosphere in the distance beyond the wall. Yeah, there's a fire somewhere.
So I would slip inside then and just try and figure out what's going on.
Okay. On Azeroth, when you walk past the Gilnean wall from Silverpine into the actual territory of Gilneas, there are like big areas of farmland and fields. If you go there now, like post-Cataclysm, you'll see like troop movements from the Undercity and like all these siege engines and all this stuff. And then there's like bridges over rivers. And then there's like, you got to walk for a minute to get to the city proper. But in a sort of dream state where you take a step and you're there type of scenario, you experience that. You know that the woods is a place and you travel through it, and it takes longer and stranger of a journey than you would have expected. You reach the wall, you pass by it, and after your first step, you're past miles of fields and you're past rivers and you're past all that stuff. You are in the city. You look around. The city is, as you remember it, maybe a little hazy. Again, the signs are difficult to read because that's how it is in dreams. For the most part, it seems fine. But there is somewhere in the middle of the city that is the focus of this, encounter, I guess. I'm curious to know, where would Ari consider that place to be?
The middle of the city?
The middle of her city.
It would definitely be like the castle area, but more specifically, there was a garden where her and Mia would go out and read and talk and kind of get away from King Gen, just because there was a lot of, not like fighting, but like we had different opinions on things and stuff like that. But the garden, it wasn't like he couldn't go there. It just wasn't interesting to him. So it was a safe space where we could go and talk and read and like have a picnic or something like that, where you didn't have to put on an act or you didn't have to like pretend. You could just be. That makes sense.
I think it makes perfect sense. And I think that that's beautiful. You know that that's where you need to go.
Okay.
Butch and Falcus, you guys just watched Ari wolf out, eat the soul of a demon, consume all of the fire in the base camp of the Teldrassil kids, and pass out. You look over and see that her body is lying on the stone floor of the place, and you can see heat waves rolling off of her skin like she is made out of a hot asphalt on a summer day. Like, you can see the heat coming off of her. In the moment, you can hear outside, the thunderstorm is still happening. The Teldrassil kids and their warlock summoner friend are safe, but like there's debris in the area still. Like, this, the fight just ended, and you guys take a beat to take a breath and take in your surroundings and see, okay, the thing that's happening here is Ari is in this situation. What are you guys doing right now?
Well, I'd run over to Ari. Run right over to her.
Yeah.
And my first instinct would be to try to pick her up, but is she too hot to the touch?
Much like trying to reach into an oven and just grab the dish out, like you reach for it and immediately realize, I could do this, but I would pay for it.
Yeah, Falcus would be like, Ari, and run over there, do like the power slide in next to her body, and like similar to Butch there, like be wanting to go touch her and going, oh gosh. And I'll just kind of look at Butch and like, what do we do?
What is she? I don't know. There was a demon. Did she? Was that? What was that she ate?
I'll just kind of like look at Butch and it's like, we both know what she just did, right?
Why? This is crazy. I don't. She's going to be different now.
You say why like that and try to contemplate her reasoning. And you can see a group of kids huddling, still afraid, trying to figure out what just happened.
Yeah, that's exactly where my eyes were going to go. Like, and look at the kids. Like, she saved all of us. I mean, the kids were... I'll just look at Bush, like, stay here, and I'll get up and kind of hurry over to where the kids are and make sure that they're okay, make sure that they know that they're okay now, like, that everything, you know, as the adult in the situation being like, hey, everything's all right, we're good, we're safe, all of our body parts are intact, take stock, you know, kind of be that support those kids need right now.
They latch onto that, emotionally speaking. They're all shaken. They are shaken, and they are shaking. They are, you know, tears in their eyes from fear and from, you know, surprise and from everything else. Rissa, I think, in particular, looks at the circle and looks at her, like, her friends, and you can tell that she's contemplating, like, we tried to do something good and then this all happened. Like, what, you know, how did
it's okay.
What
it's
do
okay.
I do next?
It's okay. This is not your fault. You're right. You guys had the best intentions. It was a good idea. It just happens to be, unfortunately, King Anduin is beyond our reach at this time. And definitely you guys did good. All right. Just trust in the fact you guys did good. You guys did okay, all right? This is not your fault. This is... Sometimes this kind of stuff happens.
It damn sure is their fault. I told them this voodoo mumbo-jumbo wasn't gonna work.
But, I say under my breath so the kids don't hear it.
Okay.
I was against this plan from the start. I knew it wasn't going to work.
I'm gonna. Obviously, I'm pretty sure my hearing's pretty sharp. That I'm gonna give you a glare.
You can glitter all you like want. I'm looking at Ari, and she ain't looking great. But no, I am not taking it out on the kids. But grumble, grumble, grumble.
Speaking of how Ari is or isn't looking great, you are seeing. You're seeing a black sort of bruise almost on one part of her arm that is exposed under what is really now kind of the smoldering remains of her armor. Like, you're looking at her, like, her body seems fine. Like, her physical form seems like it's taken some damage from combat, but she's not dying. Her studded leather armor, which she was wearing, is scorched and is probably not going to be functional at this point. And there's this odd sort of black bruising that looks like it's forming on the part of her arm that you're, like, on the side of.
Well, the armor being ruined is the least of the worries. This bruise, does it just look like a bruise that's coming up? Is there anything weird about it? Anything?
You've been in a lot of fights. You've had a lot of bruises. It looks weird.
Falcus... This is more than a rub some dirt on it kind of situation. We're going to need an expert. We're going to need an expert down here to help patch her up. She's alive, but I...
Does the heat of her body feel like it's diminishing, or is it still staying?
Yeah, it doesn't seem like it's changed.
We're gonna need to bring someone down here.
Yeah, we haven't,
You say that, and it occurs to you that there is one other direction. You could instead... It has a long cast time, but the Hearthstone doesn't have a cooldown. So you could, instead of bringing someone here, go out and go back to the Covenant.
Oh, I thought we had this discussion before about the Hearthstone. For some reason, I thought it was a once-a-day thing.
Is it? I don't recall putting that on there.
No, I don't think so. It's just a 10-minute cast time, which is why it's... Not 10 minutes, 1 minute?
I forget exactly what the cast time is on it. I just know that it's too long to use in combat. You can't use it as an emergency out if you're in a fight.
Well, there's plenty of people at the Covenant now. We left a whole bunch of people. We got people here. Might as well make it a party.
Yep. All right. Kids, let's gather around as close as we can. It's within 30 feet, so we don't have to be right up on top of Ari to do this. All right. I'm going to grab the kids. I'm like, kids, grab everything that you need. Grab everything that you have left. If there's anything that you need that hasn't been burned to a crisp, and we're going to get out of here.
Okay. It only takes a moment for them to gather up what things haven't been destroyed and what things that they can take with them. You go back to the Covenant base. You're in the basement. You're immediately able to get Falarin's attention. They come over and, you know, immediately it's, okay, triage mode. I'm going to need these two rangers to go get X, Y, and Z things. I'm going to need cold compresses. I'm going to need wet cloths. I'm going to need et cetera, because we have to see if we can, you know, try to lower her body temperature, because, hey man, magic is a thing, but like, so is brain chemistry, and you're not supposed to be this hot. We got to, you know, let's see if we can get one of our more trusted arcane experts in to take a look at what's going on here magically. So, you know, they start coordinating that. You guys, I get the sense, and you can correct me if I'm wrong here, but I don't know how much use you personally feel that you yourselves are in her recovery. In the same way that, if a family member is sick, you can do what you can to help them, but ultimately you can't fix them. You have to wait for their body to do that. So... It is the same night right now as when you guys heisted the jail. And then you went and did the demon thing, and then all this business is happening with Ari. I'm sure that you guys are tired at this point, but there are a couple of things that... If the thing you want to do is be productive, there are things that you could do. If the thing you want to do is stay here and just have eyes on the situation, that is valid as well. What do you guys want to do for the remainder of this evening?
I feel like Falkus is probably going to be sitting in whatever room that they put Ari's body in, or wherever they got her like sat up or put in some place, and be like sitting in a chair in a corner somewhere, just thinking, as a rest as a elf would rest. Was it 4 hours of meditative sleep?
Yeah.
So kind of something along those lines. I did pick up Sylvanas's arrow. So I feel like I would be sitting there, like in the chair, like playing with the arrow, just kind of like, you know, moving it between the hands and the fingers, just deep in thought, and just like, what do we do now? What do we do now? What's the next steps? You know, that kind of worry stone messing around with the arrow as I'm worried about Ari.
All right, do me a favor and roll a die for me. Your engineering skill, which you are proficient with, I think mostly relies on your intelligence. So if you could roll me a check that is, it's a d20 plus your intelligence modifier plus your proficiency bonus.
So if I did this right, 18. So it was a 12 on the d20 plus 6. 3 from intelligence and 3 from proficiency.
Yeah, an 18 is pretty solid. As you're futzing with this arrow, which has not lost any of its magical effect from when Sylvanas shot it at you guys earlier today, it occurs to you, and it may have occurred to you previously, but I want to make it, like, on the record clear. This is exactly the sort of thing that the engineering trainer was describing as, I need something that is powerfully magic to finish the engineering requirements of this really cool bow that I've been trying to build. You think you have what you need to complete that weapon. Whether or not that's something you want to focus on right this minute is beside the point. I think that futzing with it, it would occur to you that, oh, compartmentalizing for a second, we can use this to our advantage in that way.
Yeah, that was exactly it. My thought process would be along those lines to think through that plan, or at least think through that, and meanwhile just staying as close to Ari as I can.
Butch, what are you getting up to tonight?
Okay, one would think that I would need a rest. You know, we're tired. Physically tired, but, you know, adrenaline is pumping. I'm obviously way too worried about Ari to get any sleep. I can't walk through the city because the stockades people are probably looking for me right now. I am useless. Just like in the example that you gave, when a family member is sick, when they're really sick, the biggest thing in my experience that I feel is uselessness. Like, you want to do something. You want to be productive. It doesn't occur to me right now what I can do that's productive. So I just kind of go out back and start beating on a training dummy. Practicing a little bit. Maybe in the back of my mind, I'm trying to wear myself out so that I can get some rest. It's a way to, like, you know, you get a little exercise in. It's a way to help with anxiety and worry.
Okay. If you are not in the basement area, I think you would hear the knocking on the door at the front of the Covenant. You're not in a position where you would be the first person to answer it, but you hear sort of an authoritative banging on the door. There are other people who would handle that. If you want to be nosy about it, then absolutely. And if you want to focus on you right now, absolutely.
If I hear that knock, I know. Well, I know. I'm going to make a really strong assumption that they're looking for me. That it's the Stockades folks looking for me, or you know, maybe they don't know I'm there, but anyway, I know who they're looking for. I'm going to continue to... so I can hear the door. You think I can hear the conversation from where I'm at? If a conversation happens?
If you were so inclined, you could probably go into a room that is adjacent to, I don't know, the welcoming area. Like, whatever the foyer is, you could get adjacent to there and stay out of sight and listen in if that was something you were inclined to do.
Yeah, okay. I'll do that.
You get out there. Somebody has some ranger, you know, not a nobody, but somebody who maybe you're not personally familiar with has answered the door. And you hear a commanding, sort of authoritative voice who is being polite because she knows that she's speaking to, you know, just a subordinate in this organization. But she's saying it in a tone of voice that brokers no argument. She needs to speak with Lariadra immediately. You recognize the voice of Amelia Braxton, who about an hour and a half ago, 2 hours ago now, you locked in a jail cell in the bottom of her own jail. The ranger welcomes her in. She sits down in a place where, like, guests sit and wait for audiences for, you know, speaking with the commander of this organization. Lariadra presents herself. She walks out. And you hear Amelia say,
Commander Ruthier. I need information. Earlier this evening, three people who I very strongly suspect are Silver Covenant came to the stockades and conducted a mission, I suppose, that some would consider treasonous. Earlier this week, your man, Falkus, and two of his compatriots visited the castle, had a conversation with me. They were recognized. Two of their three were recognized by sight. One of them, we know that he is in the company with Lady Arimisa, who we know is a Worgen, and there was a Worgen in company. We can put two and two together. Falkus, his Pandarian associate, and a Worgen broke a number of our prisoners out of jail this afternoon. And I've come here for information.
Amelia takes a beat, and you recognize, or not Amelia, Lariadra takes a beat, and you recognize that this is somebody who's like weighing options. And you hear that she says,
"Yes, that's correct. That was a mission that I authorized. They were acting on my behest because one of our agents had been arrested in the course of his duty by people who did not understand the nature of his objective. And the urgency of his mission required that we bypass the red tape."
And Amelia says,
"Okay. Thank you, I guess, very much for being forthright about this. However, you have violated the authority of the Stormwind City Watch and the Crown Guard and the noblemen and women who support the king and his need for maintaining order within the city. So, in deference to your station, as a commander of one of our multiple military organizations, rather than place you under arrest and march you through the city streets, I would ask that you accompany me to the keep, where we can have a more formal discussion."
You see that Lariadra turns to one of her rangers and says,
"Inform Falarin. I'll be away from the Covenant for a short time."
And then Lariadra and Amelia and the multiple members of the City Watch and the stockades who came with her to back her up proceed to leave the grounds of the Silver Covenant.
Well, I go tell Falkus what just happened.
Yeah, he relays all that to you, Falkus.
I'm just kind of like taking it all in. It's like I don't see this going well. Unless I don't have a follow-up to that. I seriously don't, because I mean, alright, so let's lay it out here, right? We've heard the stories, we've known that some creatures came and took Anduin away, right? We've heard that, we've known that. We've seen the other side of it now, right? We've literally have eyes, we've had eyes on Anduin, we've seen him. And he's not coming back anytime soon. In where he's at and who has him. I don't know at this point. You know, the city and the city watch have been doing their best. Like to think that they've been doing their best to keep all of that under wraps and keep it quiet. I don't know if we've had I would assume we've had enough time to inform Lariadra of everything that happened down in the sewers, right?
Yes. So the order of operations was the sewers thing happened, and then the jail thing happened, and then big combat and smoke grenades and Ari turning off the entire security system for the entire gosh dang prison, and then everybody teleporting back to the Silver Covenant. Okay. Very quick, mission debrief. This is what we saw. Then back to the Teldris Hill kids base camp, and then back to here, at which point immediately Falarin took control of the medical situation. And then there were probably another hour and a half or so between then and this. So like that would have been enough time for you to contemplate the meaning of, you know, shadowy arrows and Butch to go have himself a workout and all that kind of stuff. Yes, there would. I'm explaining all this in order to get it through my head, like the order of operations here, the timeline. I think there would have been enough time to give a full mission debrief to Lariadra. Yes.
Yes. Okay. So my only hope at this point in time that Lariadra is going to basically tell the commander that, hey, we know what's going on with Anduin. Like, this is what happened. This is what's going on, or at least. I mean,
no, she's being put in jail. There's a cell with her name on it, for sure. There was all these people locked up who hadn't committed any crimes. For example, Harrison Jones didn't commit a crime, but knew too much information.
Yeah, I think everybody, with the exception of Hogger, that you guys elected to bust out of jail, as far as you can tell, none of them had actually done anything that was illegal.
What was the result from? Oh shoot, the commander has the gem. That has to be it. The commander has the gem.
So you do know that is true. You don't get the sense that Lariadra would have just carried it around on her. The Shard of Blood?
No.
You think that she has it somewhere?
No, the black one.
Oh, excuse me. I misunderstood. Okay, you meant, when you said the commander, you mean Amelia Braxton.
Correct. I couldn't remember her name, so I just called her the commander.
You don't think that that's correct. That occurs to you, and then you strike it as a possibility, because Uldoon... No, excuse me. Harrison told you that they triangulated the position of where the magic was coming from. You think the magic is coming from the gem, and he told you that it's in the keep.
Yeah, and that's where they're taking Lariadra to. So that's what I'm getting at is Amelia has... She doesn't physically have the gem on her. She has control of the gem, is what I'm getting
at. I'm sorry, I misunderstood. Yeah. Got you.
Exactly. So that's what that was the realization. Is like, oh my god. Amelia has the gem. She has control of the gem. That's what all this is about. That's what it all comes back down to. Yes, Anduin's a big thing and a big part of this too, but the fact that it's tied back to Uldoon, it's tied back to Harrison Jones, it's tied back to the other archaeologists and things like that, who we broke out of jail, who Lariadra just basically admitted that we have all been evolved in. You're right. She's going to detain her within the keep.
Yes, that's happening.
Good luck. Yeah, that's. Bottom line is, at this point, we got to get into the keep somehow. We have to get into the keep. We have to find the gem. That's it. We have to find that gem.
We're not doing anything while Ari's in this state.
Oh no. We can't right now. I think. Lariadra is very well capable of handling herself, as well as she's been in worse situations than this, believe me, that she'll be okay in the interim. I think for now, at some point in this time frame here, I gotta send a letter off to the only person who I know who knows anything about eating demons. Because...
You're gonna send a letter to Wellath?
I was just kind of like, I'm looking down and my eyes are just going to come up to Butch and be like, yeah.
Well, he's going to love hearing from you.
Well, he's going to hear something more from me in a moment here, because this has got to be all of his fault.
How do you reckon this is his fault?
Him and Ari got really, I don't know if you saw or not, him and Ari got pretty close while we were down in Stranglethorn Vale.
She was flirting with him, but she flirts with everybody. You think she ate a demon soul to get with Wellath? That is
no. But that not quite like that. It's just more of the.
I can't think of the words. But to me, it's like she wants to be him.
Yes, thank you. That's the words. It's like romanticizing vampires. Like, that's the big thing. Like, you want to be a vampire because you think they're all romantic, and it's something like this power. It's intoxicating in a kind of way. That's...
You think her infatuation with Willeth caused her to make that decision?
Yes.
Well, at least... Well, at least put it in her head that it was a possibility, because that would not have occurred to me. And I suppose you're right. She did save us all by doing that, because that demon was not really going to go anywhere. Portal was closed. But no, it wouldn't occur to me to do something like that. So it is definitely something she had thought about and knew what was going to happen. Okay, it's you don't think there's any other demon hunter in Stormwind?
I'm sure there are other demon hunters in Stormwind, but none that we've actually been in contact with.
It occurs to you that you haven't been in contact with very many adventurers at all in a while.
That's right. Because at this point in time, they are all away from here in another expansion. Far, far away.
Yeah, man, they're raiding, Maldraxxus or whatever.
I mean, sure. Get a hold of Willeth. You take him a month to get here? I mean, what do you want? You got another way to use the magic mailbox. Go ahead.
That's what I love. Like, I was sitting here thinking about, like, the mechanics behind the mailboxes in Azeroth or in World of Warcraft, that you just write a piece of mail with the person's name on it, and you stick it in a mailbox, and no matter where that person is in the world, when they come to the mailbox, it's there for them.
Here's the thing. The mailboxes are not magic at all. The postman is just real good at his job.
Oh, yeah, I've definitely done that that quest, too. Get the postmaster title.
One other thing does occur to you, separate from what you've been talking about just now. You replay what Butch told you about the interaction that Lariadra had with Amelia. And it occurs to you that Lariadra took the fall for you guys' activity here in town. There is such a thing, like...
As payback.
Like, just no. What I was going to say is that, like, just following orders is not an excuse that flies. But... We're not talking about atrocities here. We're talking about people who were on mission from, you know, their leader to do a specific thing that was, like, technically against the law, but they had mission orders. There's a solid chance here that you guys are under less heat now, because Lariadra was like, yeah, that was my mission, and I told them to do it, and I'm coming with you peacefully.
It's not like we did any damage to the keep. We didn't destroy anything. We didn't blow anything up. We didn't kill anybody.
There was some minor property damage and no long-term injuries, let alone fatalities. Like, not even anyone like got. You shouldn't get knocked unconscious. It's bad for your health, but that's the worst it got. So there's probably a lot less heat on you from the city at this point.
Okay. So, what do you want to do now, Falcus?
We have our own wounds to patch. I'm absolutely exhausted. I think at some point we do need to sit down with Harrison Jones. He knows the most, I think, out of anybody here, the ins and outs of the castle with the keep.
Well, I imagine he's sawing wood in the room over there.
I'll just kind of like cock my head a little bit. Yep, yes he is.
Yeah, there's people all over the keep who the people who you rescued from, like, the archaeologists are here, the kids are here, like, everyone's found a place, and is a lot of them are asleep. Yeah.
I reckon we can do that ourselves.
This may or may not be a good idea.
I hate it when you start sentence with that.
I think we should go find Queen Greymane.
Right now?
You just gave me crap about how long it was going to take Willeth to get here. The only other person who I know, I just thought about somebody else who may know, talking about curses, right? Curses, diseases, things of that nature. I mean, who better else who's within the city limits right now than Queen Greymane?
Well, I don't know if she's going to know anything about this curse, and I don't know if it's even polite to call Worganism a curse anymore. I think we've moved beyond. We've evolved beyond that way we talk about it. But if anything else, she's a next of kin. So
she's also, well, next of kin, but also a well-practiced healer too.
I'm just looking at the map. Yeah, there might be less heat on it. It's in the middle of the night.
We don't have to. No, we personally don't have to go do it, but we just have to send message and notice
that,
and just say that Lady Aramisa is in need of
yes,
immediate
please,
medical
let's do
attention
that.
And yeah.
So long rest, and Queen Greymane has been. So what are we waking up to?
Okay, at this point, you guys are. We can mark off a long rest for Butch and Falkus. You guys are still at the Silver Covenant. Lariadra has just left. You guys sent a ranger out to the Teldrassil camp, where the Gilneans and the Night Elves are, you know, staying in Stormwind. Ari.
Yes.
You are still in your fever dream. You're still, you know, going through your thing. You have just gotten into your vision of the city of Gilneas, and you know that something is afoot in the outside of the garden. Outside of the castle is the garden where you and Queen Mia would have your alone time. As you approach, walking across the sort of cobblestone streets of Gilneas, walking past the same kind of lanterns that are lit with that black, dark fire, you approach the garden and you can see it. The Felguard that you consumed in the fight in the sewer is there, and he is, as he walks, he's setting, like, his footsteps themselves are leaving footprints of fire as he walks through the street and through the garden and past the trees. Every attack that he lands on a nearby building with his axe, no, polearm, he had this long polearm weapon, leaves black and red flames in its wake when he attacks the local buildings and that sort of thing. You know, right, in the back of your mind at this point, that what you're seeing is not real. It is a dream state. It is a vision of something. But you can feel, you can sense that the damage that is being inflicted on this place is affecting your soul.
Okay.
This thing needs to be stopped. It needs to be contained. It needs to be dealt with. What would you like to do right now?
I am going to... I'm going to go up to it. Like, this would be my instinct. It's probably going to bite me in the butt. But I would kind of go up to it like Chris Pratt does with the raptors in Jurassic World. Like, hand out. Like, shh, it's okay. You're safe. It's okay.
Yeah, okay. So you approach openly with your hands, palms forward. It turns. It sees you. Its eyes explode with black fire. Its mouth opens in a snarl. It recognizes you as the thing that just ate it. You immediately get the sense, without rolling any dice about it, that isn't going to do it.
Okay. So plan B then would, I mean, be to attack it. So I would... Am I able to attack here? I haven't done that yet. Like, is that something I feel I can do?
You feel that you have access to your magic. You
okay.
Don't... You're not wearing your backpack. You don't have any of your stuff with you. But when you go to reach for anything that you may be carrying on you. It's sort of in that dream state where things exist but don't exist but still exist. You can just sort of reach for and grab anything that may be in your inventory. Yeah, what steps would you take here?
I would end up, just to like test the waters, casting a first level cold chromatic orb, just seeing if maybe I can't freeze things, but maybe like bringing down this temperature or something like will help.
Go ahead, fire that off. That's an attack roll, right?
Yeah.
All right, let's see it.
28.
28 absolutely hits. Go ahead and roll that damage.
18 cold.
All right. You deal 18 cold damage. The cold magic that you blast out toward this demon bypasses its defenses, and you realize that that's not correct. Those are your defenses. That thing has your power. That should be his armor class? No. That's yours. That's what you realize in that moment.
You're fighting yourself.
No. It's not that you're fighting yourself. It's not like, like a mirror fight. You don't get that sense. You get the sense that he's got something of yours.
Okay.
He's not supposed to have that. You consumed this creature. You have done the thing about in real life, out in the world, I subdued you. I've dominated your spirit. You shouldn't. The things that you have aren't yours anymore. They're mine. That's what it occurs to you in that moment when you make that attack.
Looking at the creature, is there anything different I noticed from when it was out in the real world?
Yeah, you hit it and it doesn't appear to have resisted any of your power. In fact, because this is your space, you hit it. It's the hit against it was very powerful. It has it still has its big weapon and it's still attacking with steel and with fire, but it's not I'm going to lean hard on the word supposed. It's not supposed to be in control here.
So it's not fighting. Here. It's fighting. Okay.
Are you staying in your human form?
It sounds like a loaded question.
Yeah, it does. So, is the wound that we created that we realized took more damage open or close?
That was a physical reality on this thing. What you're looking at is its spirit, I guess. Okay. You're looking at it without its body. Like, it's got a body here, but because, your brain would have a hard time rationalizing a space with no form.
Okay, gotcha. Okay.
That's what's here. But that is what's here.
Okay. My thought process behind that was, if the wound was still open, I feel like Ari would be like, oh, it probably still can't take physical damage very well. But if it doesn't, there's no wound, it just kind of looks like a thing, then that's not a thought I would have. So knowing right now that I probably have to overcome this somehow, I will work in form.
Okay. You call forth your Worgen curse, and for the first time that you can remember ever since you were originally bitten, you don't feel the transformation come to you. You look down to your hands, they stay human. You still feel the curse within you, and you can still call for it, but you've done everything right to do the transformation, but you look down, your hands are still your own. And then you feel the hair on the back of your neck stand up, and you realize that there is something standing behind you.
I still want to keep the creature in sight, so I wouldn't do a full 180, but I would turn until I can see in my peripheral what's behind me.
This next question is not posed to Ari. It's to Amanda.
Okay.
How much do you know about the origins of the Worgen curse?
I am blanking on everything I ever read right now, so let's just treat this like I know nothing.
The gist is this. Thousands of years ago, a group of Night Elven druids developed what they went to call the pack form. It was an animal form, kind of like the bear form, you know, it was fantastically powerful, but it was wildly dangerous, even to the people using it. Many of the druids who used it kind of lost themselves to an uncontrollable rage as the wolf's feral instincts overwhelmed the druids who were trying to cast this. Even people like Malfurion himself was not able to correctly control the pack form. He tried it. He tried to learn it. While he was in wolf form, he attacked Cenarius. Like it was a big deal. He outlawed it, like 100%. No one can do this. But some of the druids, obviously, they continued to try to use it, and he was eventually forced to banish them to the Emerald Dream. The modern Worgen Curse is a mixture of Arugal's work in Silverpine, in that, I forget the name of the castle, but the castle, Shadowfang Keep, and the influence of the Scythe of Alun and all those sorts of things, but it's magic and like the fury and all those things of the old druids of the pack that they were banished to the Emerald Dream. That is the base source of the modern Worgen Curse, where it's derived from. Now, that being said, here in this vision where your soul is under siege from the demon that you've consumed, what would you say that the spirit of your Worgen Curse looks like?
That is a wonderful question. Honestly, it would probably just look like the Worgen form of me. Just because in my head, Ari's head, the curse and Ari are two separate things. So like you have the Worgen form and things like that. But when I am Worgen form, like I'm not going around dancing and singing and being like that. It's two separate things. So it'd probably just be Worgen form me.
All right. You see sort of spectral, a little bit like starlight, a female Worgen, you know, the kind of the sort of thing you would see if you looked at yourself in the mirror in Worgen form. Eyes, instead of glowing that sort of haunted yellowish gold color, that color of, you know, intrinsic magic that sometimes exists in things like night elves who have silver or golden eyes. This thing's eyes are a smoldering, like old charcoal red, but otherwise the form is very similar. You call for your Worgen form and it stands beside you in this way, looking at you like you're a problem, and looking at the demon and going, but that's really the priority here right now. It snarls at the Felguard, and you feel rather than hear the Worgen spirit within you instruct, I guess is the right word, to the Felguard that this place is, the word she uses is mine.
Okay.
This place is mine. But in the way that she says it, it means hers, the Worgen, but also yours. Like it's the word simultaneously means mine and ours somehow. Okay. And I think she would lunge in and start to attack against this thing that's standing here. Would you do me a favor and roll me two Worgen claw attacks real fast?
Absolutely. 20 for one. A natural 20 for a second.
Beautiful. Go ahead and total up the damage for those.
19.
Incredible. You are attacking this thing with magic. It is under assault from this Worgen who just snicker snack with the claw attacks. Same style that you saw on the trees outside, the claw marks scraping across its terrible skin. It's gonna try to fight back, but like you have already in two characters worth of combat within one round done like so much damage to it. It's clear that like it's the same creature, but no. In this place, you know, you're the one. As it attacks against you, we are you made the realization that it was using your defense. It's using your ability to attack as well. Okay. That thing that you're doing, that's mine. It's going to come flying in at you, and it's going to use its pursuit ability to try to hit you. We are going to consider as the weapon attack. Well, we'll see if it hits. First of all, let's start with that. Okay, yes, a 23 would hit. You are new to this. As the blade comes in, this is wrong. I'm not a body with skin that has leather armor on. That's not who I am. I am this powerful thing. The black markings that Falcus and Butch mistook as bruises start to elongate on your arms and across the top of your chest under your clavicle as your mark of the Illidari class feature starts to be more pronounced on your skin. The tattoos that represent your mastery over the demon you've consumed and represent your ability to defend yourself from harm start to kick in. Unfortunately, they don't kick in fast enough. This thing is able to still hit you because I rolled that 23. It is going to deal to you 17 slashing damage and 2 fire damage. It is going to knock you back 10 feet if you fail a strength saving throw. Could I get a strength saving throw with advantage, please? Because we are on your home turf.
18.
Wow. An 18 is very, very, very good. The DC for the ability is 19, unfortunately. You are going to fly back 10 feet, and as you land, you realize that's fine. None of that matters. Doesn't matter. You have control of your token in this space, right? I didn't accidentally take that away from you when I was messing with other things.
Yep, I got it.
Perfect. Yeah, that positioning is fine. I wasn't trying to get you to do everything for me, although I am making you do most of the attacking. I just wanted to make sure that I hadn't messed up any of the UI stuff. You fly away from this creature. You land all like, let's do a dexterity saving throw. I just want to see if you land all cool style or not. With advantage, you're on your home turf still.
16.
Yeah, that's fine. He slams into you. He hits you with this weapon. You take this damage. You fly back. You skid across the ground. You're still up on your feet. This thing that you're attacking, this is nothing. This is a thing that you have control over.
Okay.
It's your turn again. You have come to the conclusion this thing's attacks, this thing's damage, this is my stuff. Any of the spells or abilities that you've gained as part of your level up at the end of last session are available for you to use in this turn. What would you like to do here?
Okay. So does Ari, then the assumption is I have now realized that I have abilities that I may not have before because I'm getting to know this creature. Okay. I just want to make sure. Okay. So what I am going to do, and I'm still, quote, in Worgen form, or because I created this Worgen?
I am in the, for the purposes of this, what my thought was all your Worgen stuff is still happening.
Okay.
Sort of separate, like your tag team in this creature.
Nope, that is 100%
you can do
fine.
If you want to do Worgen stuff yourself and be like, no, hey, listen, this thing's under my control, but hey, so are you, you know, get over here. If you want to do that too, I think that's actually rad.
Okay, so I don't know quite how you let this work. Well, let me read it again. So my Worgen spirit is also my own.
Yeah, it is. I will say it is simultaneously a part of you and separate from you, depending on what you'd like to do.
Okay, so what I would like to do is I would like to cast Zephyr Strike on my Worgen self. So I'm casting it, but specifically for when the Worgen attacks.
That is dirty, and I love it. That is okay. A bonus action casting time.
It is a bonus action casting time. So I would like to cast that real quick, knowing that the Worgen will attack in a moment, I guess. And then I am going to go ahead and cast a second level Dissonant Whispers into the Felguard, just letting him know, like, resistance is futile. The quicker you succumb, the easier this will be.
Awesome. So you absolutely do that. For the rules lawyers out there, I know that you can't cast a leveled spell as an action and as a bonus action. I don't care. This is a cool sequence, and I'm going to let it happen. I want the rules lawyers to know that I see you and I appreciate you. But I am choosing to ignore you. Absolutely. Let's do that. What do I have to roll?
Wisdom saving throw 17 or greater.
I rolled an 11.
Perfect. It's going to take 16 psychic damage. And it can't really run too far away from me because there's like a bunch of stuff here. And there's two of us, so I don't know who it's going to run away from since we're one of the same. But it moves a little.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm going to say that it will move. You said it's 30 feet?
It's its movement. Its movement. Speed.
Okay, yeah, so 30 feet. Yeah, it starts to haul. It's kind of running away from this sort of large fountain kind of area here in the middle of what I will say is a garden. I didn't anticipate the word garden coming out of your head when I put this map together. So this one is mostly cobblestone street, but it's a garden because of imagination. It starts to run away. It will prompt an attack of opportunity from your worgen form if you'd like to throw one of those on just for good measure.
Yep, let's go ahead and claw attack 11.
11. I'm going to say this. That misses, but it does not miss nearly by as much as it should.
Okay.
Because you have taken this thing's defenses as your own. The best it has to offer at this point, it's gone down to a 15 armor class. 11, unfortunately, still would miss.
Okay.
But you took an action to do that thing. You threw a bonus action on your worgen form. You can still move, and your worgen can do some stuff.
Perfect. So I am going to move closer. And then my thought on this is like the worgen spirit and my mind are one and the same right now. So I'm going to assume that the worgen knows that I put Zephyr Strike on it. And that means that its next attack has advantage. And it deals an extra 1d8 of force damage on a hit.
All right. So it is going to run up and try to attack this creature again. You are not the same being, you and your worgen form. This is somebody who you, this is a force
okay.
that you have, like, it's your thing. Yeah, absolutely. Go ahead and roll all the stuff about it. It is going to get two attacks just like, you know, previously.
So 20 for the one with advantage, so it hits. So it's going to take 8 slashing plus 1d8, which is 4, so that's 12 altogether.
Okay.
And then the second one is going to be a 19.
Yeah, that'll hit.
Perfect, which is going to take 6 slashing.
Okay, incredible. You have absolutely wrecked this demon. It's clear that like all of its power and bluster and magic only count if it has control of itself, and it does not. You have control of this creature. It is down to, I don't know, like maybe 10% of its health. It's to a point now where it's like not running away so much as crawling away. You've inflicted such damage on it for coming into your home and doing this. Your worgen spirit is fully going to just put it in a full Nelson, like have it. Your worgen spirit is roughly your size, maybe a little larger than you. This Felguard is massive. It's like 12 feet tall. And regardless, still both arms up behind its head, pull it into a submissive pose. For the purposes of like combat, we're going to call it there. But what do you do to solidify your control over this new thing that you've taken in and made a part of yourself?
Yeah, so I see my worgen just lifted up with no problem, right? And it just has it in at full Nelson?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so what I am going to do, the thought process is I need to bring this into submission. It has things that are mine. Like, this needs to be controlled. So I am going to take out my whip, and I'm going to Indiana Jones, like, wrap it around it, pulling it towards me.
That's hilarious and shouldn't work. And then you just pull it toward you.
Perfect. And I look at this creature and I, like, staring it in the eyes, say, my fate is my own now. as I cast Thunderclap with a very loud, thunderous sound that can be heard, like, in my dream world everywhere, and deal the final damage.
That happens. You knock this thing not into death, because there isn't a way to kill a demon, really. But you're able to knock it into unconsciousness, sufficient that the flames on the buildings and in the flowers and in the trees around you snuff out all in one. Like, the thunder wave creates a shockwave that, like, puts out fires. However, the black flames that are in the lanterns remain. This place that was sort of at the center of who you are isn't ever going to be green and whole ever again. Is you look around, you get the sense that maybe there is no way to be pure from, like, purified from this. But hey, man, like, scars add character, and this, you know, we all have our scars. You are your scars, and you know, you've gained a substantial amount of strength as a result of making this decision. The price that you pay for it is in here, not as much out there.
So, realizing this, I feel like as I look around, I see everything is whole in the sense the fire's gone and stuff like that. But I look at the black flames and I realize, just like you said, that this will never be what it is again. I'm going to go up to one of the lanterns and open up the window and reach out to the black flame. And as I look around, I'm going to say, I will sacrifice everything to save those that I love. The price that I've paid is more than worth that.
While Ari recovers, Butch overhears the arrest of Commander Lariadra Drathir. What could this mean for our heroes and for the Silver Covenant? What might Captain Braxton learn about Ari, Butch, and Falkus's activity in the city, or, worse, will she find out about the Shard of Blood? Hopefully Ari recovers soon so we can get some answers the next time we queue up for some more heroic Dungeons & Dragons.
Please follow us at twitter.com/heroicdnd, where you'll find our players' social media info and a link to our Discord server.